Welsh farm suppliers make the sheep and cattle drench, a targeted drench made specifically for their customers in Wales, but now used all over the UK and Ireland. Targeting actual deficiencies with the relevant ingredients, the sheep and cattle drench has outperformed what our customers were using, and with such a small dosage rate, it's been quicker, easier and cheaper to use, with lambs starting at just under 8 pph, with a maximum dose for sheep still only just under 20 pph. Check out the reviews on their social media sites and order online at welshfarmsuppliers.co.uk or call 077 88 140 848. That's 077 88 140 848. The daffodil is rising. Not off.
They're talking farming on the pod. Ben, Ted and Nog. They're talking nonsense. Talking about tractors, cows and sheep. Guests every week on the U-turn.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the U-Turn podcast in association with Welsh Farm Supplies. My name's Ben Chilman and I'm joined alongside by Ted Davis.
Hello everybody.
And not Nog Rogers, because we can't ever get you two together.
No. There's been a few rumours knocking around that me and Nog have had a fallout.
And this is only adding to these rumours.
Yeah. I don't think I've recorded a podcast with Nog since... Well, probably pre-lockdown, really.
Yeah, it was about 2017, I think.
Yeah. There's a little bit of fire behind the smoke. nothing on my behalf, but I think Nog got the pig that we did Stuart Rules Combine in this year. Because that is probably the most lucrative contract within... Well, definitely East Radnorshire. I'm not sure, you know, probably further afield as well. It's a very, very lucrative contract.
Pardon the pun.
Yes. It's 24 acres of wheat.
Yeah.
You don't get better than that, really. They're like, that's like the cream jobs, really.
Yeah. That is the gold dust of the Radnorshire Border Herefordshire.
Well, it's the pinnacle of your contracting career, really. Once you make it to the top and you start receiving phone calls for a 17-acre patch of wheat followed by another 7-acre patch, you know you've made it then. I think Nog's taken it to heart, really. But what can I say? We're not here to take part. We're to take over, Ben. We've got the brand new R-Reg combine.
Yeah.
Humming now. She's had two new belts this year.
And one was on the driver.
Yeah. So the driver's now decent. Getting in and out. I don't know what the belts were doing.
No.
But...
you've gone through them like wildfire.
Well, I don't know. I don't even know if they need to replace him, but... We had a bill from Team Valley Tractors for two new belts and fitting them. So we had to take on more work, really, to pay for the bill. So, but yeah, that's about the only thing that I can think that's come between me and Nog.
Yeah, but as you said, it's quite a big thing, so it probably is that.
Well, yeah, nobody likes losing work. It's like when you lose a shearing job.
Mm.
Not that I've ever lost any shearing jobs.
Or to Nog.
No, I've definitely never lost a shearing contract to Nog. No. No. I did lose a shearing contract in New Zealand once, and it wasn't my contract to lose.
Right.
Long story short, the farmer kept bringing us, the sheep were terrible, they were full. In New Zealand, you don't shear full sheep because they just kick, and he was running them straight off the field and whatever. And it was my first day of ganging, which is like when you're in charge of everybody in the shed. Big day. I got up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, get myself prepared, and then
Of you like me that were wondering, ganging.
Yeah. No, not like that. got myself prepared, And I knew it was going to be a tricky task because we'd been shearing in the shed for about 4 or 5 days leading up to this event. And it got to dinner time and he ran a bunch of sheep in and you can tell they were like toads running down the road. They were full. And the farm worker come in and I said, look, unfortunately, we can't shear them. They're too full. And he looked at me and he said, you wait till the effing boss hears about this. I said, that's no problem. I'll explain to him. The boss come tearing into the shed and cursed me up one side, down the other. And to cut a very long story short, excuse my language, kids. He told me to get in my little van and off. So we got in our little van and off. And I think the contractor lost that job for the following year. I didn't actually go back.
Yeah, well, that's what I presume the story was going to be. You lost a shearing job just because you didn't get on a flight to go out there, or...
No.
I mean, it's fair enough losing a shearing job because you didn't want to commute to the other side of Shrewsbury.
Yeah,
but yeah. The other side of Ludlow, you go, come on, Ted. You know, a bit poor, you can surely do that. But New Zealand, I'd let you off the hook for that one.
Yeah, but I sort of had it in the back of my head that I wasn't going back anyway, so it was sort of like...
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not taking this. I got two other shearers here shearing with me. I need to look after them. They lost out on half a day's wage.
Yeah.
The contractors lost out on probably about 6,000 sheep. But I felt good about myself.
Yeah. But poor old Ellis, when he goes out there in 20 years' time, he'll be remembered. Oh, I remember your dad. Get in your little van.
Yeah. And I won't say it again because we've got young listeners. Apologies to the young listeners. Mm. I will just take this moment to say, if you are ever shearing in New Zealand, feel free to stand your ground because you're there to earn money. Not that I was earning a great deal of money anyway. I was still in the very, very early days of shearing. But
There to do them a favour.
Yes, exactly. I don't think I did anybody any favours that day, but there we are. I don't even know how we got onto that story, really.
No, there was some beef between you and Noggin with...
Next thing you know, we're
in New Zealand.
We're in Lawrence in the South Island.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a little van.
In a little van.
Hot footing it out the yard. Go, he's coming. He's coming.
That's just where this podcast takes you.
Yes.
My next question. My next thing. I was going to ask you, where have you been? But obviously...
New Zealand.
you've been at Stuart Rawls.
I've been New Zealand, Stuart Rawls, combining.
Yeah.
Well, I say combining. I'm not actually allowed to touch a combine.
You weren't allowed to touch the belt?
No. Oh, definitely not. No. Christ, no. I'm allowed to touch the handrail to get into the cab to get my next instruction on where to put the trailer. And that is about as far as it goes. Although, if I'm honest, I don't want the job.
I was going to say, that surely suits you, don't you?
I don't want the job. It looks... I'd like to get in the cab, perhaps send a Snapchat or two, do a couple of acres, and then get out. I'm not... I can think of nothing worse.
It's a
high pressure job, especially when you're dealing with the likes of Stuart Rule,
who demands only the best.
Well, yeah. So no, it's not for me. I moved the combine. I have just contradicted myself there. I did move the combine the other day from the sheep shed into the lean-to. We weren't growing corn in either of them sheds, but it was parked in the way.
Were you allowed to? Did you have the royal seal of approval?
No. Ooh. No, there was a lot of very confused / angry faces when the powers that be come back into the yard and the combine wasn't where it was left.
Were you brought down a peg or two for getting a bit above your station?
No, because in fairness, I managed to move it without bending anything.
Oh, well, better than the current driver.
Only just, because our sheds aren't the biggest. Our combine's not the biggest either, but it's quite tight. And I was in and out every couple of inches just to make sure that I hadn't bent anything, hit anything. And I was driving along and I forgot to put the steps up. And I heard this. I was like, whoa, no, that didn't sound right. Looked round. and I hadn't put the steps up, and they were just about on snapping point on an RSJ. But slipped into reverse, easy enough on this new combine. I say new, it's a million years old, but it's new for us. And yeah, I got away with it, Ben.
Well done. Again, so I think we've somehow come round. And to be fair, though, I was trying to think to listeners that obviously don't know Stuart Rawl, how you paint a picture. I mean, one way of describing would be the fact that... Reg, did you say the combine was?
I think it's R-Reg.
R-Reg, that's probably the newest piece of kit that would have gone on to that field.
Yes, yeah. What is that Mercedes thing he drives?
What, the Unimog?
Is it a Unimog?
Oh, all of Stuart's kit is fantastic. I love it, but
it looks a horrendous thing to drive.
Yes, yes, but he can drive it like a Land Rover with one arm out the window and round the elbow. You know, his elbow.
Yes, absolutely living the dream. He's like a trucker.
Yeah, he's under his arm. He's kind of
he's like a Sean Gilder of the tractor world.
And he, yeah.
His arm is constantly tanned. And the rest of him is baking hot because that thing is definitely pre-aircon.
Yes, but that's why he's got his ventilated straw hat. He's got two straw hats these days, one for winter and one that's got a hole in the top that's for his summer, for his ventilation.
Yeah, the winter one's like a thatched hat, isn't it? It's like 18 layers of straw.
To a perfect peak.
Yeah, trimmed with frills around the side.
Anyway, one day we might get him on. You'll be able to hear plenty of stories. Right, where have you been? You've been at... We've done the fact that... Well, you've perfectly covered the fact that there's a conspiracy between...
Oh, it's no conspiracy. There is big beef between me and Nog.
There we go. This is what I'm working with.
I hate him. No, I'm joking. No, there's no beef between me and Nog. There's no beef. There's no beef. The more it's going to sound like there is.
Anyone that has to say that.
We're just working things out between ourselves.
You know, he's just having his space.
He does his thing, I do mine.
Yeah. It's not me, it's him.
Yeah. No, it's not me, it is him. It's 100% him. No, I missed last week or whenever this is. When's this going out? Christ knows.
Well, we're not even sure, are we?
Don't even know if it will go out. yeah, I had cows out that week.
That's not a euphemism.
No, no. Yeah, I was going to say something then, but I won't. Family show. I was quite gutted that I didn't get to speak to Lloyd Rees.
Yes, we had Lloyd Rees.
You had Lloyd Rees. I'd lined him up.
And knocked him down.
Done all the organising, you know, tickled him and done whatever else I had to get him on the podcast, and then didn't actually show up myself. So I will apologise for that. Not that the listeners probably quite glad I didn't turn up, really, because it would have been probably 4 hours of solid shearing talk.
Yeah, what campus
were you using?
Yeah.
How much lead did you have on? Well, that's about as far as my shearing knowledge goes, really.
Well, did you listen to the episode?
Yes. Very enjoyable.
Did you? You don't have to say that, but thank you. Did you hear that I got a bit of shearing terminology in?
Yeah. What was the term? I forget what it was that you
filling the comb.
Filling the comb.
Yes.
You're a big one for filling the comb, Ben.
I fill a comb or two. Yeah.
Steady.
yes.
No.
And the pattern.
Yes, Ben. To be honest, I was listening to it, thinking, is this Lloyd Rees talking to Ben Chilman, or is this Lloyd Rees talking to David Fagan? That's what it was like. It was like two shearing greats chewing the fat and Nog.
Yeah.
Where did you get that terminology from, Ben? Can I just ask? You Googled that beforehand, didn't you?
No, it can only be you.
It would
imagine.
Never come off me, Ben, because I haven't filled a comb once in my life. Do one big blow when you can do 17 small blows?
I don't know where I've got that from then. Oh dear, that's a worrying prospect, isn't it?
Yes.
Anyway.
But no, very, very enjoyable episode. Very, very knowledgeable bloke. And yeah, What a hell of an achievement.
A great achievement. I should just look at my phone now. I remembered that we've got quite a lot of messages that have come in about that episode. Just scrolling down through them now. There's some lovely messages. So thank you very much if you took your time to message in. Really do appreciate it. As I said, there's probably too many to read out here, but I appreciate that.
We will just say that Lloyd is getting a lot of love.
Lloyd's getting a lot of love. Yeah. And everybody's saying quite rightly what a great achievement it is.
There's quite a lot of offers to take him on a date.
Yeah, I don't think they quite understood who Kelly was.
No, Kelly's his fiance.
Yeah, I mean, good on you for trying. I mean, nonetheless,
you know, a goal's got a goalkeeper. Doesn't mean you can't score. I know, I get that, but she has got a ring on her finger.
Yeah, and she was,
and Lloyd put it there. So,
and I think they live together.
Apologies to Pete from Yorkshire, but. He's not interested, mate.
But he was...
how many messages you've sent us.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's been a persistent Pete from Yorkshire anyway.
Yes. We won't be sending them picture messages on. I can clarify that now, Pete. Stop sending them.
And the
Doesn't matter how far in you zoom, we will not be sending them.
And
we have passed your name on to the police.
Yeah, your offer to send your underwear was... We can't accept forwarding mail of that sort.
No.
The one thing that Pete did observe that was a common theme was the fact that as the interview went on, well, I didn't notice this personally, but as the interview went on, apparently people seemed to think that me and Nog got more drunk.
I noticed that.
Oh, did you?
Big time. That's why I'm quite gutted I wasn't here, really.
Yeah.
Nog more so than you. But then, one thing I have noticed with my good friend, the Right Honourable Gentleman, usually on my left, Nog, is that once the first Thatcher's has gone down the hatch, the 17th isn't far behind. Like, he is... he's an animal. Yeah, you can't stop him.
And he takes a bit of keeping up with.
He does.
So I felt obliged.
Well, you had a go.
I tried.
Yeah. I mean, if you had kept up with him, there wouldn't have been a podcast. No, fair play to you boys. It was a very, very enjoyable episode, and well done to Lloyd.
Yeah.
We'll surely catch up with him again some point in the future.
We will.
Welsh Farm Supplies make the Sheep and Cattle Drench, a targeted drench made specifically for their customers in Wales, but now used all over the UK and Ireland. Targeting actual deficiencies with the relevant ingredients, the Sheep and Cattle Drench has outperformed what our customers were using because it's quicker, easier and cheaper to use. Order online at welshfarmsupplies.co.uk or call 07788 140848. The daffodil is rising. Not half.
Moving on. What have you been up to, Ted?
Well, a few odd little things going on in my life for the last fortnight, really. I don't know, we'll just pick a random day in. Let's go for a Monday. Got up in the morning, went to Ludlow, went to Eardsley, picked up a calf, came home, resuscitated the old man. Brought him back to life and sent him off to Worcester Hospital in their ambulance. I mean, that was just a random day. I mean, there's quite a few days that we could have picked, really, Ben, but...
That day?
Yeah. Well, that was just the first day that came to mind, really. I don't mind if you want to talk about other days.
No, I think we probably best go through this one. So, long-term podcast listener, and, you know, as everybody is, not just a listener, they're a sufferer of our nonsense.
Yeah. It's quite weird, really. Russ is a big fan, which is the reason I find it weird, because I'm not 100% sure 99% of the time he's a big fan of me.
No, my dad certainly wouldn't listen.
I think it's a farmer thing. You work with your man. It's sort of the rule that you you know, you've got to at least put a cross. You don't really like each other 90% of the time. Everyone knows that you do like each other and you get on like a house on fire.
But you could never portray that
no,
in a public environment.
No, good God, no. But no, Russ is a big fan. He's always telling people, you know, listen and subscribe. No, he doesn't say subscribe. I don't know. He knows what subscribe means, really. But yeah, it was...
So run us through that day.
Well, I got up about 5:10. I'm joking. It wasn't 5:10. I can't seem to, for the love nor money... seem to get up in the morning at the moment, Ben. I don't think I've been on time for work at McCartney's for about 6 weeks.
To be fair, you have got a new one that's not sleeping much until...
Yeah. If I'm honest, the boss at McCartney's has had quite a few different excuses. I did have a genuine excuse this week. My truck keys with the push start on the trucks, whatever... Yeah, I know. I'm doing quite well for myself. Got a push start. It's on lease. It's not mine. When the key battery goes dead, you can't start the truck. Which isn't ideal.
Back to the drawing board on that one.
Yeah. There's literally nothing else you can do other than hunt for a spare key that Ellis had hold of, I seem to remember, about 18 months ago. So it was buried under 18 months worth of toys, nappies, half-eaten apples, and rusks. but yeah, anyway, back to the main story.
We might run a feature one day of the most imaginative excuse you've used to go for being late to work.
Yes.
Not in you fact, in
let's
person.
Do it now.
But
let's do it now.
Right, okay.
If anybody has got a great excuse, we'll open it up.
Yeah.
True and made up.
Yeah, I think so.
And we could take it even further and say, if you message us with any excuse that you've used, and then we'll try and guess whether it is it did actually happen or whether you made it up and got away with it.
So get in touch with us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. No, I could normally go email.
Email.
Snapchat.
BBM.
MySpace, any of the above, U-turn,
Bebo Messenger,
U-turn podcast or U-turn pod, just send us a message and we'll try and work out whether it's a real excuse or a made up one.
Yeah, or text Ben 07. No, I don't even know your number, Ben, to be honest.
No, contact. I'm wearing a shirt.
Or you contact Dougie Priest, painter and decorator. For those of you who are wondering what the hell we're on about, Ben's wearing a t-shirt that has been sponsored by Dougie Priest. Painter and decorator.
Yeah, he's only second to the other famous painter and decorator, Vincent van Gogh.
Was he a decorator as well?
He was. Not many people know that. He was remembered as a painter, but he was also... he went round in a van and it said, Vincent van Gogh, painter in block capitals, and then underneath, decorator in smaller font.
They do say he was a hell of a boy in the wallpaper.
Oh, he paced for days.
Paced, good... galore.
Yeah.
Right, what were we talking about? Russ.
Sorry, Russ. We'll get back to you.
Yeah, sorry, Russ.
Yeah.
Right, so... It's a hell of a story, and there's so many different sub-stories that go with it.
Yeah, so bear with us.
Bear with... You might have to listen to this maybe 6 or 7 times to
fully
get your head around it. Right. So... we had some cows.
This is the first issue.
Yeah. I think that's what caused the problem. We had some cows. They're about a mile away from home that are calving. And we're going into the first sub-story now. One of them cows had slipped a calf. So I'd been to pick up a calf. For those of you who were listening earlier, I'd been to pick up a calf after market. And I was... on my way down the drive to skin the calf, and I met Russ coming up the drive in the gator, and he said, I'm going to check the rest of the cows. Right, everybody staying with us so far? I said, no problem. I'm going to skin this calf and try and get him to suckle. No problem. So I'm there with my knife and my whetstone, just getting a bit of edge, you know, proper job. Phone goes. This effing Gator's ran out of effing diesel. Right, put the knife down, put the whetstone down. Dropped the whetstone a bit hard, snapped in half, classic. Anyway, put some diesel in a drum, put it in the back of Russ's truck, because I had the cab in the back of my truck, so put it in Russ's truck. This, just remember that, because this will pay dividends later on in the story.
You're already thinking at this point, can this day get any worse?
Oh, thinking, Christ.
I've dropped a whetstone.
Just get me home. Russ is going to go ballistic when he gets back here, because I've snapped his best whetstone. I meet him on the road, fill up, no problem, no dramas. Gator started, a couple of minutes later, no problem. I'm reversing back to the main road, because we're on a little side road, dead end road, Pig and Whistle Lane it's called.
Now got some fresh tarmac.
Yes, some of you may have recalled hearing about Pig and Whistle Lane from Russell himself on Midlands Today. Absolutely furious it had been tarmacked.
Turned out to be a good thing.
Yes. So I'm reversing back to the main road, and I swung downhill, heading for home now, and I'll just do the decent thing. I sort of give Russ a look as if to say, are you going to go or am I going to go? You know, who's going to follow who home? And as I looked up, Russ is head down, heading towards the front of the truck. Not going any speed at all, really, just rolling. And I'm thinking, he's getting closer, boof. And I was literally about to say, what the flipping heck are you doing? And I realised something wasn't quite right. He sort of like looked up, all shooken up. And this is where it all goes slightly downhill, really. He sort of got out and was a bit uneasy on his feet. Was talking to me, but no, I was talking to him, sorry, but I couldn't get any response out of him. I think he was just like, I thought, Christ, it wasn't that big of an impact. Like, what's wrong? And with that, his legs went from under him. I was close enough that I caught him, and he was out. He was passed out on the ground, really. Although I will just warn people now that the details of the story are quite hazy, not because I've made it up, but because everything just seems to go so... It all goes so fast, but also so slow at the same time. I think he was still breathing at the time when he hit the floor. But not for long, because as soon as he went down, I thought, right, something's not right, ring 999. So, ringing them, they answer, need an ambulance. Right, no problem, is he breathing? I said, yes, he is. Within about 3 seconds, that changed. He wasn't breathing. Right. Luckily, I've done CPR training with work. I've done it with young farmers, but I'm sure a lot of people are quite, not embarrassed to say it, but like, you know what it's like on a Monday night when you're in farmers, you're arsing round, you're not really taking it very seriously. But I'm fortunate enough that I have done first aid training with work. And in the back of my head, as much as I was panicking and thinking, what the flipping heck is going on here? I sort of half knew roughly what I had to do. I had to start doing CPR on Russ. Pumping, staying alive. I wasn't singing at the time. It seemed inappropriate. The bloke was unreal helpful on the phone. Like, just, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. Yeah, kept me going. All the while, Russ was going, like, I can't even describe the colour that a human's face can go. Like, it was like glow-in-the-dark blue. It was unreal, but you could see it, like, working from, like, his neck up his face, and I was thinking, Jesus Christ, this is not looking good at all. I was pumped. And then he'd sort of come round a bit. He'd have a couple of big breaths. So put him put him into recovery position then, and he'd have a couple of breaths, and the bloke on the phone was saying, as long as he's having, I think it's one breath every 10 seconds, it's, you know, that's enough oxygen for the body to survive. And then, right, he stopped breathing again, back on his back, 1, 2, 3, 4, pumping, come round. And I wouldn't like to say how many times it happened, but in the meantime, the bloke said on the phone, oh, you need to get a defibrillator. Is there one near? And my mind went blank. It felt for like an hour. I was like, oh, Christ, where the hell is the nearest one? And I remembered there's one at Lingen Village Hall. He said, you need to get someone to go. Well, we're in the middle of absolute nowhere. But luckily, thanks to probably lockdown and just internet shopping in general, an Amazon driver comes down the road, and I wave him down because Russ was in the recovery position at this point. He was breathing on his own, albeit labored breathing, but he was breathing for himself. Waved him down, come quick. And he pulled up. By the time he got there, I was back doing CPR. And I said, can you go down to Lingen Village Hall and get the defibrillator, please? to which he said, where's Lingen? I was like, oh, no. I said, oh, Christ, just follow that road and just find someone and ask them where the village hall is. Anyway, so he disappeared into the distance. All as this is going on, like, Russ is getting worse and worse. Like, his whole head was, like, neon blue by this point. And if I'm being brutally honest, I'm pretty sure he was on his way out. Like, his eyes were rolling to the back of his head. He was, like, gargling. It wasn't nice to see at all. Very, very scary. Not ashamed to say, I was crying a little bit. I said to the bloke on the 999, I think he's dead. And he said, no, keep going. I said, I will keep going. I'm not going to stop, obviously. But and then, luckily, the Amazon driver found Lingen Village Hall. The defibrillator was there, ready to go. And another stroke of luck that just so happened to go our way that day was that a local lady, Kay, was there with her son, Jordan. And Kay is a retired midwife, so she's got some medical training in her background. So they said, well, we'll come with you. So yeah, they came up with the defibrillator. I was flat
so
out.
So they followed the Amazon delivery driver. Yeah.
So they pulled up. I was flat out pumping. And then yeah, got the defibrillator out. And I know people say, oh God, them defibrillators, God, I don't know, you know, what you do. I know they say they're automatic, but how do you know what to do? There is literally no way on earth that you could possibly do it wrong. There is no way that you could do it wrong. So we put the pads on. You put one on his chest, one like down on the side of his rib cage, and it monitors him. You've got to let him go. You don't touch him for like 10 seconds, and it monitors what his heart's doing, and then it'll say either shock needed or continue resuscitation. I think he had two shocks. But with Kay and Jordan coming, that allowed me not to step back, but the whole time this was going on, I was thinking, shit, if Russ is going to die, I need to ring Mom and let her know, because that, like, she needs to know as soon as possible. So I rang Mom. I was like, Mom, don't panic. As soon as anyone tells you don't panic, you panic. I was like, where are you? Swansea. Oh, Christ alive. Right, well, don't panic even more then. But yeah, Russ is having resuscitation. But you can't believe in the turnaround from literally Russ being on the edge of life. Just mentioned at this point, Russ hasn't got a clue what the hell is going on at this point. He's told me now since being home that he can remember getting out of the gator after hitting into me. But he said he had like tunnel vision. He said you were 6 miles away. I thought, well, I can't be 6 miles. You wouldn't be able to see me 6 miles away. But he said he can remember seeing me in the distance and not knowing what the hell was going on. And then next thing you know, he's in the air ambulance. But you can't believe how somebody can come round as quick as that. And it's all to do with them defibrillators. Yeah, like I say, his whole head was bright blue. There was no oxygen in his body. Like he had no pulse. And then with two shocks of that thing, he was coming round. Obviously, Mum was hot footing it back from Swansea. Rang the rest of the family. I don't know why I told them all to come. Well, obviously they're going to come up there anyway, but. Yeah, everyone was there. Everyone was arriving. But by the time they moved for us, it was just starting to rain, and they moved him into the back of an ambulance. And we were all just... The air ambulance had come by this point, landed in a nearby field. And what was he saying? Oh, yeah, they put Russ in the back of the ambulance just to do whatever they had to do. And yeah, we're just taking it all in and giving details to different paramedics, and three police cars turned up. I don't know if they think who they thought was on the floor, but they must have thought it was quite important. So yeah, just giving details and, you know, what happened, whatever. And then somebody came out, oh, are you Ted? Yeah, I'm Ted. Oh, Russell's calling for you. Right, okay. So I walked over to the side of the bed. You all right, Russ? Where's my phone? So it's in the gator. I've got it. Says safe. Don't worry. Well, you better send it with me. If they're sending me to hospital, I'm gonna have to ring Mum and let him know what's going on. As if I was just gonna wave him off in the air ambulance and let him ring Mum when he gets there. I think I'm all right. I'm in Worcester.
What are you doing, buying you?
Yeah. Well, they brought me down in a helicopter, but I'll be home in a few days. As if he thought that's how it was all going to play out. So I said, well, never mind moitering about your phone. Like, just get yourself in that air ambulance and get for Worcester. So, yeah, they took him to Worcester, done a few tests. It wasn't a heart attack. Just a boy with a little fact now. A heart attack is mechanical. Cardiac arrest is electrical. So if you have a heart...
Say that again. A heart attack is what?
A heart attack is mechanical. Yeah. So blockages, something causing an obstruction, something that actually stops... The heart is trying to beat, but it can't. And that's where the pain like comes in.
Right.
Whereas Russ said he had no heart pains, no nothing. It was cardiac arrest, which basically is the electrical signals from his brain stop telling his heart to beat.
And that's what's a lot more common in athletes.
Yeah.
Obviously, Fabrice Muamba was the footballer who very famously, in about 2012, I think, playing for Bolton against Tottenham, there was a doctor in the crowd who knew what to do. Back 10 years ago, this would have been a very rare thing. You know, wouldn't have even had a defib. You know, it kind of rose awareness from it, and he turned out to survive. Christian Eriksen was a footballer, obviously in the Euros or World Cup. That, again, similar thing. So, yeah, interesting that.
Yeah, yeah, because Russ has actually had a heart attack 8 years ago, I think it was. It was when I was in New Zealand telling the farmer that I wasn't going to shear his shit sheep.
I knew there was a link to this van.
Yeah. I was hot footing it in a van, and Russ was hot footing it down to Worcester again. Yeah, everyone's been asking, has he had a heart attack? Well, no, there is a difference. But yeah, basically his heart stopped pumping, which means that, you know, you haven't got long to react, really.
Is there any sign that there's any different, like there's nothing you should do differently with either? And there's,
I don't think so, no. Obviously my medical knowledge is very, very limited. I don't think so.
We're happy to have doctors on to explain to us.
Yeah, if anyone does know, get in touch. But that's what I sort of couldn't really work out. Like I at the time assumed he was having a heart attack, but he wasn't he wasn't in pain. He wasn't grabbing his chest. It was like he was just drifting off.
Yeah.
Which made it a little bit more scary, really, because I didn't have a clue what the hell was going on. If he was reaching for his chest and, you know, crying out in pain, you know, I would have said to the bloke on the phone, he's having a bloody heart attack. Yeah. But no, it was just out of nowhere. And Russ has said himself, like, it was completely out of nowhere. He never felt weird, never felt lightheaded, never felt nothing. It was just one minute he was driving along. Next minute he was having his ribs broken by me, which is quite a sore point, if you pun the pun. But I do remember the bloke on the first aid course telling me that don't be alarmed if you break ribs. If anything,
yes,
you're not doing the job right if you don't break ribs.
Well, without linking this episode round again, painter and decorator Dougie Priest, who does quite often the first aid training for Preston Young Farmers, always says if you're not breaking ribs, you're not doing it right.
Exactly. And I'm pretty sure on about the first or the second pump of giving Russ CPR, I felt a big crack and I was like, that's going to hurt. So the first thing he said to Owen, my brother, when he got down to Worcester, because him and Mum were slightly ahead of me and my two sisters, he said, you all right, Russ? I'd be better if Ted hadn't broken my ribs. I think the doctor interrupted and said, well, actually, Russell, you'd be dead. But broken ribs will heal. I don't know if Russ's grudge towards me for breaking his ribs will ever heal, but there we are. But yeah, that was quite a scary ordeal, really. Not something that I'd really want anybody to ever go through. Like I say, I was very, very lucky to have had the very, very basic first aid training. Because despite all the panic and all everything that was going through my head, when the shit hits the fan, if you've got that bit of knowledge, it's amazing where your brain finds it from. Mm. As soon as it happened, I was like, right, well, as shit a situation and as scary as this is, I do know roughly what I have to do, like roughly. And obviously 999 on the end of the phone, they were good as gold. And that's really why I wanted to bring it up in a podcast. Obviously I've spoken to a lot of people just round and about in day to day life, really. About the event, but I just wanted to just urge everyone really to take time and take an opportunity to do some basic first aid training, because obviously you never know. I had absolutely no idea where I was hoping that I'd never have to do CPR on anyone, let alone your old man. But it really, really does pay dividends. Like, it's a shit job. It's probably the worst thing. Well, it's not the worst. There's obviously worse things that go on in life. But to have a little bit of knowledge of just roughly what you need to do, it really does pay dividends. And if there's anyone out there, I don't know if you're the leader of a young farmers club. We'll come on to that. We'll segue into that later, Ben. Or just, I don't know, if you're anyone, if you're in any walk of life, I would really, really recommend doing first aid training and not doing what I did for the first two or three times we did it in young farmers and just laugh and joke. And I remember we did it in the Memorial Hall in Prestine once. I was only about 15 or 16 when we were doing it, and the instructor came over and I did two or three pumps and I said, patient declared dead at 2016. And looking back, you know, but it's what happens. It's dullness within young farmers, but looking back, you really do need to pay attention with them sort of things. But that's the sort of stupid shit that goes on in young farmers, isn't it?
It is. I think, yeah, there's three key things there. The importance of CPR training, the importance of never giving up, and the importance of being quick to react. And obviously there was a lot of fortuitous circumstances in amounts, and a lot of credit's got to go to you, Ted, in particular, for, yeah, being all three of those things. But, you know, the fortuitous circumstance of a delivery driver that could speak English, whether he knew where Lingen was or not.
But also,
and Kay and Jordan, and, you know, there's so much in that story, but a lot of credit to you.
Yeah, I can't really take any credit. Even if I hadn't done the basic first aid training, I'm sure the bloke on the other end of the phone in 999, he could probably talk anyone through what they had to do. But just having that little bit of basic knowledge meant that I was comfortable enough in the situation that I roughly knew what I had to do. I would highly recommend that everyone just do some basic first aid training. I'm pretty sure you can get grants, and there's different organisations that can come round and do the training.
And what you said before about knowing where your defib is.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I don't even know how I know that it's it. I must have seen it drunk one night I only ever go to the village hall in Lingen if there's a do on there. Yeah, so how I knew it was there, I don't know.
I was once very ill next to it.
Not ill enough to use it. but yeah, there's so many things that could have gone the other way that day. But yeah, I just really want to urge people. I think at the rugby club in Belf, we're going to put aside one Tuesday and get somebody in to do some first aid training. But like I say, if you've got young farmers clubs or youth clubs, or it doesn't really matter, any organizations, you know, town council, parish council, anyone really, if you can get,
yeah, there is needing, you know, another demographic that's
yeah, just if you can just get a few people up together and do the training, it I wouldn't say I was really comfortable in my knowledge, but I sort of, as soon as I sort of realized that everything was going wrong, my brain sort of just took over and was like, right, well, you know what you're doing. You need to do this. You need to do this. So if you have got that bit of knowledge lodged in the back of your brain somewhere, then let's say, hopefully you'll never ever need to use it. And I really hope nobody does ever have to use that knowledge, but you know, you can save someone's life with a little bit of knowledge.
Yeah, well, you're possibly 30 seconds, a minute quicker to react than someone who doesn't have that knowledge, and
exactly,
that can be everything.
Exactly, yeah. I was on doing CPR by the time that the bloke answered 999.
Yeah. Here's a question for you.
Yes.
The bloke on the other end of the 999, he did very well, obviously. Do they ever find out what the result was?
I don't know, and this is where it's sort of, it's bugging me a little bit, because I was very, very lucky that I actually had battery on my phone. I didn't have a lot of battery. But yeah, by the time that the air ambulance had landed, not long after they landed, my phone died. So he probably hasn't got a clue what's gone on, really. I don't know. Well, he didn't try and ring me back anyway. But yeah, I don't know.
So if you're listening,
if you did answer the phone on whatever date it was, Monday or something or other, to a very emotional bloke with a Radnor twang.
It was on about,
it was shouting and cursing at an Amazon driver.
It was on about a pig and a whistle.
Yeah. Also, another thing I'll point out, I didn't actually need it this time, but get what three words on your phone. It's an app that it's basically got the whole globe mapped out in 3x3 meter squares, and they're all marked with three individual words. Luckily that we were on a main road, and he could locate us fairly simply anyway. But Yeah.
A good thing to have.
A very, very good thing to have. And I think I'm right in saying it works without signal as well. So, yeah.
You as cannot... does phone signal for ringing 999.
Yeah, it does, doesn't yeah. it? Yeah.
Which I never understand. Why can we... Okay, fantastic, we ring the emergency services, but... Yeah, but
sometimes there's
not
an sometimes there's an emergency that can't be dealt with the police, ambulance, or fire. Like,
yeah,
if you've got to ring Akil, you can't ring 999 and ask for Akil. Well, you probably can actually. They could probably put you in touch with them.
Yeah, you know, an emergency. Yeah. Akil, one of your battery powered solar fence units gone flat.
No, one of mine's gone flat. Can I borrow one of yours? Because yours seem to be.
Because you've got 7 million.
Yeah.
No, well, all well that ends well, and Russ is back home, and he's moithering.
Russ is back home. He came home on the Friday night. Within about 2 hours, he was out on the gator checking his cows. Yeah, you won't tell him no different. But now he's doing well. He's had a pacemaker fitted. I'm not sure. I haven't found the dial for it yet. I'm hoping that you can like turn it up. Like if we've got a big day of sheep work ahead or something, we can just turn it up a couple of notches. So that he's firing on all cylinders. But also on the contrary, if we're doing something that I know that Russ won't agree with, we just turn it down and send him off for a little sleep. But whether or not they can. Somebody can point me in the right direction to find that dial.
Yeah, I'd imagine remote control, isn't it?
Yeah, that'd be the best thing for it. Yeah. But yeah, very, very lucky. I was actually meant to go shearing that afternoon. I was in Ludlow and the woman rang me and she was like, I'm going to get myself into trouble with the tax man here. I'm just going into town to get some cash for you.
I don't think he listens.
No. How much do you want for this afternoon? And I'd completely forgotten about the job. I was like, well, I haven't got my shearing stuff with me and I've got to go and get a calf. And you know, I didn't say I've got to go and resuscitate the old man because I didn't know it was going to happen. But that was another thing that could have just, you know, could have gone shearing and come home and it would have been a very, very different story. If Russ hadn't run out of diesel.
Yeah, have you fixed the fuel gauge?
No. But I don't think we will because when he runs out of diesel next time, you know, somebody will be there, won't they? I forgot what I was going to say then.
So many fortuitous events, but
yeah,
they've all culminated.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. If he hadn't run out of diesel, also he was lucky that he was. We were on, it's not a main road, but it's a road that people do travel on. If we were
in a field,
even if we were 10 yards back up the lane, that delivery driver probably would have gone straight by. Also, if I'd have reversed a little bit quicker and taken off, Russ would have gone straight over the road and down into the ditch. And that's what I was going to say. Also, bloody lucky I took his truck. Otherwise, he'd have smashed into the front of my truck. The only bloke to crash two of his own two vehicles. That was a big sigh of relief, actually. I got back and I was like, Christ, I was this close to getting into my truck. Thank God I took his.
It was a lucky calf.
Yeah, a very lucky calf, really. Yeah, yeah. And do you know what? Another stroke of luck. The cow took him. Not a bloody bother. Not a bother in the world.
Even better. Yes. Even better. Oh, well, good. Good. That's stunning. And other good things have happened this week. Bill had the first win.
Yes.
You were instrumental.
Instrumental. Does that mean I made a lot of noise?
No.
Because I did... make a lot of noise, puffing and panting mainly. Yeah, no, we had a good first win, first league game of the season.
Come on, Ted, what happened?
Well, we smashed them, didn't we? They were top of the league last year, or most of the way through the season, they were the ones to beat. We did beat them last year as well. But, yeah. Thrashed them.
And your part was?
36-0. I didn't score any points.
No, I thought you got...
I had a big role to play. Big tackle to make.
Did you get put in the sin bin?
Yes. Yeah. But in fairness, I was yellow carded, but I had played 70 minutes, and that's usually about the point I get taken off anyway. And we'd already used our front row placement, so I thought, well, if I'm not getting subbed off, I'm going to have to go off anyway. There was a little bit of a high tackle. I mean...
You took his hair off.
Yeah, I don't know how it happened, really, because he was about 6'5". But I think he sort of ducked into me and I sort of jumped into him. I didn't jump, but yeah, basically took his head off. Yellow card, didn't come back on, but didn't make a difference. We still won. So look out this year.
Up the balls.
I would probably go to crap this weekend, but there we are. We won the first game of the season. We can live off that for the rest of the year.
Yeah, well, of course, we had Lloyd Rees, big Gwynavid man. Mm. Who
we beat them the other day as well, yeah, in the pre-season.
We touched on that, yeah.
Did we?
Well, we mentioned it on the most one.
I tuned
off by then.
I'm honest, I haven't actually finished that episode yet. I'm about 2/3 of the way through.
Yeah, we did mention that one. Much else on go?
Not really.
Not really. You've had enough to contend with.
Yeah. I've had a little bit going on. I haven't had much time for anything else, really.
Of course, you've got a big sale coming up. It'll just happen this week.
Yeah, it's very confusing, isn't it?
But they've used a special product.
Yes.
That puts them out above the rest.
Yes. So today, which is, what is it today? Wednesday. I've been just doing a little bit of pampering on the ewe lambs, which are heading to a market which I can't name for employment purposes, because it's not McCartney's. They're going to Hereford Market next Tuesday, and I want to take this opportunity to thank Mr. Brian Hammett and his team at Welsh Farm Supplies, because we've used this drench on these ewe lambs and the ewes this year. Well, we've been using it for a couple of years now, and it does the job. It really does do the job. They've had a crap time this summer. We've had no grass. It's been so dry. There's nothing in the grass for the sheep. So we've been drenching them. These ewe lambs have had a couple of drenches at different intervals, and it really has done the job. And I just wanted to say thank you to Brian for supplying the drench, not quite free of charge, if anything, full price. But yeah, hopefully if I keep plugging in, he'll, I don't know, send me a t-shirt.
Nog's still got my jacket.
What the hell has Nog got it for? He's hardly going to wear it.
No, he's hardly going to fit in it, is he?
No. Unless he wears it as a sock.
Maybe that's what he's up to. If you two would just make up and get back to it, he might bring it with him one day.
Well, he's not having Stuart Rule's contracting job back. If that's what it takes, it's not happening, because we've got a combine to pay for.
Well, I think we're getting around it.
Well, I would like to take this opportunity, Ben. To congratulate you.
Would you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because
what's that for?
A lot of the listeners might not know this, but Ben has been voted in as...
It was a tricky vote.
Yeah, well, it was a tight vote by all accounts. Has been voted in as chairman of Prestine Young Farmers Club. Well done, Ben.
Thank you, Ted.
I mean, you're following in a long list
of audacious footsteps.
Yes, I don't know what audacious means.
No. It, don't worry yourself.
There's a lot of big names being former chairmen of Prestine Young Farmers, Ben.
Yeah, I think John Craven initially was one.
No, John Bray.
John Bray.
Yeah, John Bray from The Chemist in Prestine.
Bugger. I always get those two mixed up.
Very similar characters.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. So, congratulations, Ben. We would like to wish you all the best.
Thank you, Jim.
With the upcoming 12 months that's in front of you.
Yeah.
Not to put you off, but I'm pretty sure my year as chairman knocked about 18 years off my life.
Yeah, well, I've already started to lose hair.
Yes.
On this front corner.
It's not an enjoyable experience.
No.
I know we talked about it about 2 months ago and I said how rewarding it was. It's not.
And at that time, I was adamant I wasn't doing it as
well.
Yes. I still wasn't.
You're full of shit, Ben. I knew you would. Yeah, it's probably the worst 12 months of your life. Mm. Stressful. Your members don't care. They hate you.
Yeah, that's
maybe
all true.
Maybe that was just me. I don't know, but... It's very, very difficult task, and I will just say that, you know, if you ever need any help with anything, Ben, don't ask me, because I've done it. I'm out to Young Farmers now, and I've got my own little people to worry about.
Yeah.
So, no, it is. Well done, Ben. It's a big undertaking, and like I say, it's you're doing it for the club.
Oh, I'm just giving back to the club. I'm just such a selfless member.
You are, Ben. You are. It's very good to see. You're probably the most humble person I've ever met.
Thank you. I would just take this opportunity to just say that there is a new members' evening on the 19th of September.
Will this go out by then?
No. I'd say it's probably the Monday after this episode.
Oh, no, well, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
You might... Oh, sorry. Yeah, this will go. Will yeah, yeah. Out. Yeah.
I was going to say, don't advertise something that's...
Oh, no. Oh, no, I think this might be out. Anyway, if it's out, come along, because we're really short of members. We're not a short club as in height, but just...
We're probably not the tallest of clubs, though.
No, I don't help that, I suppose.
No.
I wonder who would be the tallest chairman in Randershire. It's not Mark Nixon either.
No, that's a good question.
Sam Bevan's pretty short and Knighton.
As a general rule, yeah, I'd say Knighton would probably be one of the tallest clubs. I'm talking about history now, historically.
Yeah, they're very
Abred
short.
Abred, very, very short.
Abred have always been short.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing grows in Abred.
No.
Even not people. Even the people.
No. Knighton are a short club again now.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Oh, the Giants have died. Or moved on.
Airdrie Valley would be a short club. I always think of Raider as a tall club.
Yeah, well, they got good water supply up there. Yeah,
they've always got the feet in a bit of good stuff.
A lot of silt in the bottom of them dams, isn't there?
Yeah. Aye, there's plenty of bit of phosphate kicking around. They just grow in quietly.
Yes, that's probably what helps them grow all them toes that they've got.
Yeah, and Lambadden have got a lot better since the influx of chickens.
Nitrogen on the ground or whatever. Their diet is a lot stronger these days.
Yeah, they're flying along.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think. It always amazes me, firstly, how we can deviate from stories so quickly on this podcast.
Yes.
But it amazes me. We went on AGM once. There is a lot of tall people about.
Mm.
And I know that is a random thing to say, but I think it was Bedfordshire that we stayed in a hotel with. I think it was my first AGM. We had a boat race. We lost.
Well done, Bedfordshire.
They were huge. I'm sure every member was like 6 foot plus. I mean, I know there's a cut in wind in Radnorshire that just takes everything off. Anything that pokes his head out, just taken clean off by that cold wind.
Well, I was going to say that about the Radnor Valley.
Yeah, like it's a windy place, the Radnor Valley.
That's why they're short members, and because everybody that comes there just takes out of it, really. Take anything good.
Yeah. Anything good.
I was more meaning about the potatoes.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah. But there was some... Anyway...
We won't go there.
Yes. So if you've got an imaginative excuse for why you're late to work, remember to send that in to us, whether it's made up or not. We'll try and sort it out. And I think we're getting round it. There's a new members evening for Preston Young Farmers. Come along. It's a good laugh. It's a bit like this.
Christ, is that?
No.
Let's try and take a positive, take a one point out of everything that we've discussed.
Right. So where have you been?
Right. We'll cut to the chase. Do CPR training.
Right.
And know where your nearest defib is.
And never give up.
Never give up.
The conspiracy about you not liking Nog is the fact that don't think that you've always got a contract.
No, especially not when I'm around.
Keep working hard for him. We've got a good thing out of Russ. The Bilth win is, look, if you're puffing out with 10 minutes left, just get sent off. You don't have to play the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Which is what your coach is looking forward to hearing.
Yes, he'd like to hear that.
The good thing out of the Lloyd Rees story was Lloyd.
Yeah, definitely not Pete's naked photos that he sent us. That's definitely not a good thing.
No, Pete, please, once again, please just stop. The good thing about the ewe lambs is the drench.
The drench. Use the drench, people. Honestly, now, I'm not being paid to say this, although I probably should be. Brian, we need to discuss that. But it is good tack. It is very, very good tack.
And finally, the good thing about the young farmers. Ooh, that's a bit tricky. It's all been a bit negative for the last 2 weeks, really, isn't it? They're taller than they look in Reda.
Yes.
And Lambadden.
Yeah.
And Knighton's getting shorter.
Knighton's getting shorter. Reda's getting taller.
And the best things have gone out of the Radnor Valley. No, can't say that.
Yeah. Just join Preston Young Farms, isn't it?
Exactly.
Join the best. The best of the best.
Yes.
Have you got a slogan for your rally tops yet, Ben?
No.
If you've got any suggestions for Ben Chilman's rally tops, please send them in. Keep them clean-ish.
Yeah, it's got to beat probably drill 'em, fill 'em, and bill 'em.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
And on that note...
I don't know if I can say take time and be nice after you've just said drill 'em, fill 'em, and bill 'em. No, maybe I can. Anyway, thanks everybody.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Take time and be nice.
And see you next time.
They're talking farming on the pod. Ben, Ted and Nog. They're talking nonsense. Talking about tractors, cows and sheep. Guests every week on the U-Turn.